Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon and welcome aboard to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick Annie, along with Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, Annie, the hostess with the mostest.
Today. I'm doing fine. Before we get started with the show, you know I have my announcements going on. Want to remind everyone that on next week, the 23rd through the 27th, we have the Healing Heroes Golf Week here in Beaufort, South Carolina. This is hosted by the Independence Fund and Lieutenant Dan Weekend. For more information on this golf outing and where you can make a donation, even if it's only $5, you know, every little bit helps, go to LDW3, that's the number 3, LDW3.com, and then click on the donation button and please help these wounded veterans. The Independence Fund buys special equipment and helps build houses for the severely injured veterans from Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam. They are a charity that is 99 cents on the dollar, goes directly to the vets. So it's a good cause, and I have sponsored one of the golf holes on Thursday on Cat Island, and that Thursday we'll be broadcasting live from Cat Island. Other thing I want to let you know about here in South Carolina, on Hilton Head, the Republican Club is having their meeting at the Hilton Head Palmetto Electric Building at 9 a.m. tomorrow. For more information on that, you can email tommyhatt@juno.com. And then they have their next meeting will be Friday, June 15th at the Country Club in Hilton Head at 12:30. The cost is $25 per person. And the spokesperson there will be Congressman Mick Mulvaney. Again, you want more information, email tommyhatt@juno.com. So what is up, Mike?
Well, not much. I'm in the process of uploading a tape or a recording. it's something we will play down the road, hopefully next week on Thursday. It's a tribute to Navy SEALs, but I'm really excited. Today's topic, an amazing thing. I don't know, recall if Jason will be joining us or what time, but it's really amazing. We talk a lot about prosperity. We talk a lot about leave the American people alone. Here's a young man who's 28 years old. He's got books on the New York Times bestseller. Isn't it amazing just what an entrepreneur of any kind, regardless of what their product is or whatever, can do when basically they don't have one arm tied behind their back?
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. And Jason will be joining us at 3 o'clock. I had gotten word from his publicist this morning that he had a slight conflict of interest, but he will be here at 3 p.m. So anyone listening in, waiting for Jason, he is going to be on the show, as promised. He's not disappearing on us. He will be here at 3 o'clock. I uploaded onto the chat room an article from the Island Packet, and I laughed at this today, and I said, you know, some crooks are just too stupid for their own good. This clown gets busted for drug trafficking. He parks his car in the driveway of a woman. She happens to be 94 years old. And he starts dealing drugs out of his car parked in her driveway. Now, first off, he's on someone else's private property. She has nothing to do with him. And I guess he figures because she's 94 years old, she's not going to do anything. She's going to be frightened. She's not going to say anything. She's probably too senile to know what's going on. So he could use her home as his base to deal drugs. Well, her son was at the house, and the son sees this guy dealing the drugs out the driveway, dials 911. Cops show up, and he goes to book. He goes to take a run. He put his felony flyers to the pavement and starts taking off. Well, guess what? He's wearing those pants that, you know how they wear them around the bottom of their butt instead of around their waist? He trips over his own pants. He gets caught because he's wearing those pants to the ground pants. And he trips over them, and boom, goes down. Click, click, you're gone. I just had a laugh when I read that story.
Oh, that kind of takes care of that problem. A quick footnote. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, first off, I don't want to look at someone else's butt. You know, please. If it's someone's butt I want to look at, it would probably be my husband's. and you know, I don't want to look at some stranger's underwear. So, you know, pull your pants up. You know, and you know how many of these guys that wear these pants, you know, halfway down around their knees, they're ending up with orthopedic problems because they got to walk funny in order to keep their pants up. And consequently, they're coming up with bad knees and hips and so on and so forth. You know, they're aging themselves at twice the rate than a normal person would age.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're ending up with a lot of orthopedic problems with these guys. Because, you know, if you ever notice when they wear their pants, they have to, you know, have a certain type of walk. Otherwise, the pants will continue to fall down. And then, like this clown, they'd be down around his ankles while a cop is chasing you.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, I have to laugh.
He had a disadvantage.
Oh, man. Just some things are just too funny, just too funny. But, you know, John Edwards is back in the news. You know that?
No, but you were all excited about playing some. You know, it's really funny is that sometimes, oh, my God, like you're talking about this criminal and we're talking about it. Sometimes it's unbelievable how intelligent people who are not just educated, but fairly street smart, common sense smart, can sometimes just do the most dumbest things on things of absolute privacy, such as, you know, I mean, you would think a person like John Edwards or anyone of prestige in the media, for many, many years, they do things secretly where nobody, not even, I mean, virtually the other person and God know what happened. And it's amazing when you mentioned John Edwards. Just that, oh my God, this guy was just like common sense stupid, privacy stupid, I should say.
Yeah, but, and not only that, he gets himself on videotape too.
The one where he's in the hotel with the girlfriend and he's dancing, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God. Good old Catholic John. I'm going to mute my phone so I don't laugh too loud because I already know this is going to be good.
All right, hang on. This is a clip from today on ABC News.
John Edwards, his trial hitting a rough patch before it even starts. The former presidential candidate denying charges that he used almost $1 million in campaign funds to hide the pregnancy of his mistress back in 2008. ABC's Jim Avila has the latest on all that. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Robin. The trial is still expected to start next Monday, but more than a quarter of the jury pool has been dismissed in the John Edwards case after many said they just could not be fair.
50 prospective jurors will see the judge today, plenty to choose from, and few doubt John Edwards will finally get his day in court next week. The handsome one-time presidential candidate who liked expensive haircuts and is now a defendant, accused of soliciting nearly $1 million to hide his affair and child with an expensive woman from his cancer-stricken wife. And more importantly, prosecutors allege, from voters. He now knows who will testify against him.
This was completely John Edwards' idea, completely John Edwards' plan.
The star witness granted immunity for his testimony against the former senator, his aide, in charge of the cover-up, Andrew Young, who admits handling more than $900,000 from two wealthy supporters to pay for private jets, luxury hotels, and rent mansions where he and his family hid Mistress Raelle Hunter, a campaign videographer who called Edwards hot the first time she met him. Moments later, they were having sex at a Manhattan hotel. Now, more than 6 years later, the senator faces trial for conspiracy, accepting illegal campaign contributions, and making false statements. And there on the witness list for both prosecution and defense is his former mistress.
I didn't violate campaign laws, and I never for a second believed I was violating campaign laws.
His attorneys call the case crazy and expect to hammer away at Andrew Young's book and testimony, accusing him of pocketing much of the money. The defense says the checks may have come from donors, but they were personal gifts, not contributions.
This is a lousy case. This case is being brought just because everybody hates John Edwards, not because he broke the law.
The former senator's wife, Elizabeth, died during the scandal. The baby is now 4 years old. It's not known if her father will testify on his own behalf, but we do know that John Edwards' eldest daughter, Kate, is on the defense witness list. Robin?
All right there, Jim. Thanks so much.
Now, here he is. Because he's so public a figure, he's not going to be able to get a fair trial. They're going to probably argue that. But not only that, what really caught my eye is now John Edwards has gone from the $500 haircut, and he now goes to supercuts for $12.95.
Well, honestly, I have to I don't know how to word this, but this guy's on crack. $500 for a haircut? I mean, and greatly, I'm sure some of it is exaggerated. But these people do. They live these – it's not even a above-middle-class type lifestyle, Annie. I mean, where in the hell can you go, Annie? Think of right now, okay? If I said, here's $300, go get a haircut. Now, I'm not talking for you. Say, Yanni, go get a – I mean, you have to really be at a place that's beyond ritzy or whatever for a guy's haircut to be that much. I mean, you can get the full lube oil and filter, no sexual intended. That's not even $300. Yet he paid $512 for a haircut.
Nope. Now he's going to supercuts for $12.95. He's got to go where the common people go now. Someone's got to pay for his attorneys.
it's about time. He also, when he was the lawyer for that lady who sued McDonald's for the too hot coffee, he actually invested a huge percentage in Google. So we know, obviously, John Edwards is not financially strapped, but it's still, you don't, just because you have it doesn't mean you can't be smart with your money.
Mm-hmm. Now, you think about this, you know, if he had won the presidency and he was so reckless with his campaign finances and his personal finances, can you imagine what he would have done to our economy?
Yeah, and it's not even a joke. as far as just when people are that irresponsible. I mean, it's scary, Annie. It's really scary.
Mm-hmm. And it also goes to show the thoughts of the government elitist, you know, these people that were born and bred into politics. And that's the only way you can say it. They were born and bred into politics. Their entire family, their social circle and everything is nothing but politics and living off of the public tit.
Well, that's
I said it.
Very, very true, and it's also very scary. The position we are in now, I think really in many, many ways calls for not a complete abandonment of the family, the political family, but something along those lines. As you can see, the Ron Paul family is much different than the Rockefellers, than the Kennedys, the Edwards. It's an endless list of mother, father, you know, just son follows daughter, whatever, type in politics. And we need to eliminate a lot of that, because what happens is you basically have a different body with the same views and they're taking the country in the same direction. And that's why it's so important. Not that John Edwards, it's really hard for me to say, well, John Edwards is probably a pretty good guy, because obviously a cheater is the worst form. But the bottom line is that we cannot elect people we can't trust. And yes, we still will, because that's the way politics is. But for the most part, we need to elect people like us who are as responsible to their word as they are to their country.
Yeah, we have to look at more first-time candidates rather than incumbents on that. You know, I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. You know, we've got DCS914, Dirty White Trash, I love this guy, Ghetto Riffraff. We have to have a little riffraff here. You know, you got Jubilus, you got Mesto, you got Micahs and Rick. And Bible Mechanic, I want to welcome you all. Our guest will be with us at 3 o'clock today. He had a slight conflict in his scheduling, so his publicist dropped me a little line saying he definitely will be here at 3 o'clock. So if anyone's tuning in for that, just hang in. He'll be here. He'll be here.
So tell me, Ann, if you ever make it big, you got like one of them shows where they you know, you have a guest audience and, you know, like an Oprah type, the Annie Bella show. Are you going to remember me when you're a big shot, or am I just like history once you sign the dotted line?
Oh, you're just my bitch for the time being.
Well, this will come back to haunt you when you're running for Senate right there.
All right. Now, since you are my co-host, who is this caller we have coming in?
That's me, but leave it for now. I'm just what people are asking. I'm learning to play with Skype, because basically sometimes for my phone, as I've started my own company, I want to keep my phone open for customers who want to place orders or just call on whatever. So I'm trying to use Skype now when I am on PTR, which appears more often than not. So this way I'm not sending people directly into voicemail, where I can, with Skype, I can always mute it and take the call or just do general stuff. So I will be using that Skype line in a matter of minutes. But I'm just, as of right now, I'm just playing with a bunch of new toys right now. So
okay, great. All right. Now, you know, there's something else that popped up in the news lately. Now, I caught this I caught hints of this going on about maybe 6 months ago. They're coming up with finding fraud in the election process. Oh, my goodness. There's actual fraud in our electoral process. Would you believe that, Mike?
Never. Not in a million years.
Well,
he's dead, but ask Nixon about his first run against Kennedy.
Well, they were looking into, I believe it was Indiana and Illinois for election fraud for 2008. But it, instead of correcting the electoral process between 2008 and 12, it's gotten worse. Now, I got two clips. One is here about Maine. And remember, we had our friend here, Andrew Ian Dodge, complaining about that, because he's running for office up in Maine against Olympia Snow. Someone finally actually turned around and documented it. And they put together this little video I found up on YouTube, so I'm going to play it here.
Tonight, Maine's Republican Party announced Mitt Romney as the winner of their caucuses.
That winner is Mitt Romney.
What the headlines haven't told you is that what happened in Maine is the messiest caucus Republicans have had so far.
Certain residents in three of Maine's counties are being treated right now as if they do not exist.
The numbers that the state GOP in Maine are reporting are, according to caucus chairman, incorrect.
Kennebec County did vote as they were supposed to last week, but their vote total, as you see here, shows up as a zero in the Republican Party's official results. Washington County postponed their caucuses on Saturday because of a snowstorm they expected to hit the area.
There's a lot more than what you said. The man who canceled it was a Mitt Romney supporter, and the snowstorm he predicted didn't happen.
Then there's Waldo County. Even though nearly all Waldo County towns held caucuses on February 4th, here's how most of Waldo County's votes look. Look in the official Republican Party's results list. Zero votes.
Waldo County, where voters from 18 towns gathered for municipal caucuses. I talked with Matt McDonald, a pastor of a small community church in Belfast. He was nominated as the chairman of the Belfast caucus. The state instructed the chairman to not read any of the votes aloud, and instead to send them directly to Augusta. McDonald made a motion to have the votes read aloud at the caucus, and it passed unanimously.
The vote was 8 for Ron Paul, 7 for Rick Santorum, 5 for Mitt Romney, and there were 2 undecideds.
No results have been posted from the Belfast caucus.
Selena on the line said that she had received our tallies, our votes, but hadn't recorded them online yet, and she said Romney with 9, Rick Santorum with 5, Ron Paul with 2. Well, of course, those were not the right numbers, and I told her, and she said, well, those are the numbers we have.
You see, dozens of towns on the GOP site are listed as if no one voted, including in Waterville, Maine, home to 15,000 people.
We contacted the Maine Republican Party today to find out what the heck happened to all of Waldo County's votes. So far, we have not heard back. The margin of victory for Mitt Romney in Maine was 194 votes. That's called a hair.
On every occasion, the votes that were lost were Ron Paul votes. In one case, the votes were actually transferred from paper to electronics, and the lady doing the transfer was a Mitt Romney person.
Remember what the establishment said about Reagan? He's radical and out of touch and dangerous. It's the same thing the establishment now says about Ron Paul. What's so dangerous about him? He wants a return to the Constitution. And though the Constitution is our founding document and embodies our first principles of limited government, sound money, and personal freedom, we've drifted so far from it that a return to those principles would indeed mean substantive change to the government. The only danger Ron Paul represents is to the establishment that fears its own loss of power. We've drifted so far, drowned so deep in debt, lost so many of our rights, fought so many fruitless wars, that if we don't rock the boat now, we may end up sinking.
Now, how you catch that? They took all the Ron Paul votes and threw them out.
Wow. Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Even in Maine, a dishonest election polling place. How long has this been going on?
I don't know. We're getting an echo from you.
From me?
Yeah. Yes. We have a guest on the line. Or is this? Let me try this again. Oh, no, unfortunately.
Rick, the echo's from Rick.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rick, you're trying to call into the show, and I'm getting an echo from you. I thought it was from Mike. But if you want to, try calling back or lower the volume on your speakers there, and we'll bring you back on.
What does it say about, Annie, is that, okay, now we're discovering these type of elections. How about in years past, when Jerry Ford and Reagan had that close battle in the GOP? Did Reagan actually win? Did he? I mean, who knows, based on the fact that all this fraud is going on right now. And, you know, we just talked at the beginning of the show about stupid criminals. Here's this lady doing this just right out in the open. I mean, what kind of dummy does stuff like this? You'd think you'd go into a room separately and do stuff like this.
And why isn't anyone being prosecuted for it? You know, that's another question. You've got voter fraud. Remember the thing with the Black Panthers in Philadelphia? And no one was prosecuted. And now you have this blatant up in Maine, and no one is being prosecuted for voter fraud. Because that's what it is. If you turn around and alter the numbers, then you've committed fraud. If you turn around and say that it's zero votes, when you actually have counted votes, you've altered the numbers and you've committed fraud. Why isn't anyone being prosecuted?
Well, bottom line is that we have come to a society where certain people get a pass, and it's just how it is. It is an accepted norm, Annie, that if we do prosecute, if we do the right thing, if we do hold by the voting concept that our forefathers had, if we do indeed take somebody to court over it, somehow we're radicals. Somehow the person who wants justice is in the wrong. It's just how it's an accepted norm now, and it's not. The bottom line is this is going around everywhere. This is taking place county by county, state by state. And we sooner or later do need to do something about it because, as the judge said, the ship may sink if we don't start rocking the boat.
Yeah, now there's a new thing that's going out. This is going around the internet this past week. The Obama administration has chosen this company, I can't pronounce the name, SCYTL, Skytl? I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But this company is tied to George Soros somehow or other, and they're choosing this company to assist with counting the votes for the election in 2012. Now, right now, four states use this company's equipment, but Florida in 2008 turned them down, and this is their reason, quote, "Our findings identified vulnerabilities that, in the worst case, could result in voters being unable to cast votes, an election result that does not accurately reflect the will of the voters, or disclosure of confidential information such as the votes cast by a voter. The extent to which these vulnerabilities could actually be exploited in the ODBP is beyond the scope of this report, given our lack of system context. Secure handling and audit of the voter choice records may defend against some or all these vulnerabilities, but these procedures were not available for review." So in other words, they're saying that these machines...
They're not available for review. Outright fraud?
Yeah, these machines can be tampered with. Now, with this in mind, I came across this up on YouTube. Now, it's a long audio, so I'm not going to play all of it. I'm just going to play the beginning of it. So catch what this guy testifies under oath in court. Here we go. I'm sorry, it's just a little bit of a lead in here.
Mr. Curtis, would you please state your full name for the record?
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Mr. Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked, you or others with your professional expertise, had been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election, could you have done so?
If we've been asked to make a program that could fix the election, sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops. There's,
all right. If, are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system. Is that correct?
No, I was not.
In Europe.
Now, catch that. Is that scary? Is that not scary?
Yes. Amy, is that not scary? That's going on. I mean, that's outright going on. I mean, are we, with all the things we talk about week to week and day to day, are we really to believe that election fraud is not going on also?
Now, as I said, this other company that Obama is supporting for the vote counting already operates in 4 states here in the United States. I'm trying to see if I can see what the name of the states are. I've got it printed out here somewhere. But Skidell's CEO was a donor to Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign. So this is a company that was a direct donor to him. And let's see, they operate in West Virginia. They do it in D.C. Trying to see what other states. I know we've got electronic voting machines here in South Carolina, but I'm not sure who manufactures them or maintains them. But the very thought of that your vote can be altered without you being aware of it in the least little bit. You know, and there's no backup to prove who you voted for. You know, no paper trail, no paper ballot so that you can turn around, no hanging chads to count and look at. And well, these electronic machines, they can. You think you're pushing yes, and it's saying no.
Just think of this. This would be Mayor Daley, not the one who just retired, but this would have been Mayor Daley's best friend, the machine, the man who started the machine. Well, didn't start it, but I mean, this has been just going on forever. Now it's just much easier to do, because as we said, there's no backup proof, even in business. You always had carbon copies or you had a return check. You had proof of something. Even today, when you pay a bill, you get an email reply or it's on your credit card invoice. I mean, basically, this is every single precinct can be fraudulent, and there can be no proof of anything. As long as it's organized and it's done pretty much with a computer chip that you can insert in and out, there's really little anybody can do about it. And it's sad. It seems like nobody really wants to do anything about it.
No. Well, I'm hoping that we can get enough people aware of this potential problem that we can prevent it by the time November comes around. Now, I'm going to try to bring our caller back in. Rick, good afternoon. You're on the air live.
Hey, Annie. How are you?
All right. I'm doing fine. You have a comment to make?
Well, I got one pertaining to this that had just come to me, and one that... and something on a totally different subject. But as far as this election fraud that you're talking about, there is one way in which we can just combat it, and that's with truth vote. You know, there's a friend of mine in the Patriot Zone on Facebook who's a member of Truth the Vote, and they're going out to try and stop this election fraud.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I hope that, you know, this court case in Ohio brings it to a public light. Let's see mainstream media pick up the story.
Question is, how do you catch it if it's done on a computer chip? And this is ridiculous. This is just beyond. Barack Obama in my lifetime is the most corrupt, crooked. He takes George Bush to a 10 times more level when it comes to just the bullshit this guy does.
Yeah, you're so right about that, Mike. I mean,
he's a liar. Honestly, when he says, God bless America, I think he means the opposite. When he says, have a nice day, I think he means the opposite. When he says, good morning, I think he means bad morning. I just don't believe anything this person says, period.
Yeah, I just put the link in the chat about the truth of vote, you know, and And, I mean, I encourage people to go there. As a matter of fact, Annie, if you like, what I'll do is I'll try and talk with my friend and see if he can fit some time in his schedule to come on this show.
But that'd be fine. That'd be fine. You know, they're saying with these machines from Skytel, they find three different problems, particularly. They have the use of supervised polling stations provides significantly better protection. And this is the problem that we are having up in Massachusetts. The polls were not properly supervised, and therefore the votes were altered.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In Pontiac, Michigan, where I'm at, they had like two or three different ways of communicating, but somebody at a remote tunnel in these computer chips or whatever, it was basically Wi-Fi. So somebody was at a terminal and could see how the voting is going. Can you imagine that?
Jeez. Right. And they're also suggesting that two copies of each vote being stored, one electronically and one on paper, like we just said, you know, providing a certain redundancy so you can allow to verify that the vote is actual.
Mm-hmm.
This is not being done. And then after casting the vote, each voter is given a receipt that is intended to give them a confidence that their vote has been counted. Now, I would like to make sure that my vote goes directly to me. I would definitely like to make sure. We've got some more people calling in, and let me bring this person in on the line as the Bible mechanic. How are you doing this afternoon? You're on the air live.
Hey, how you doing, Annie? Doing good.
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I just dug something out of my file. And this is from the South Carolina Constitution. You've been talking about voting. And until we get to the bottom line, ain't nothing going to get fixed. South Carolina Constitution, Article 2, right of suffrage. And if you look up what that means, it's the right to vote. Section 1, Article 2, election shall be by secret ballot. Then protection of right of suffrage. Continues, all elections by the people shall be by secret ballot. No problem there. But the ballots shall not be counted in secret. Big problem right there. Now, do you think that these companies that have devised these electronic voting machines are going to turn over their codes and whatnot so that the ballots can be counted, not in secret?
I would sincerely doubt that, but if they want the contract with the state of South Carolina, they're going to have to make some sort of allowance. Otherwise, they don't get the contract.
I agree. So where does the problem lie? Does it lie with capitalism, which we always hear so much about, or does it actually lie with the people that we elect, allegedly, to these various county, state, and even federal offices?
Hmm.
And it comes back to what Mike says, okay? We've got to get rid of these elitists. We've got to get common people in there. And the chances of that happening, quite honestly, nowadays, are slim to none. The chances of Mike getting elected, or me, or even you, Annie, are slim to none.
Well, we're seeing right now, in the last election, the state of South Carolina made a huge move forward because you ended up electing Trey Gowdy, Mick Mulvaney, Tim Scott. So in areas that were predominantly going to Democratic candidates have actually strongly gone to good, solid conservatives. And these conservatives are first time elected to federal office, and this is what we got to get other states to do, the same thing that we have started to do. I'm going to bring in another call we have here on the line. And good afternoon, Thomas. You're on the air live.
Hi, Miss Annie.
How are you doing today, Thomas?
I'm perky as a pot of portobello mushrooms roasting over an open fire with a simmering cup of hot cocoa.
Ooh. Not that anyone's asking me, but just so BTR knows, I am not on speaking terms with Thomas the Invisible Conservative.
Well, he'll get over it because whatever issue you have with me, that's all right. Everybody else has issues with me, so whoop-a-dee-doo.
I was yesterday, 2020, he had Alan Keyes on as a guest. Gosh, it was absolutely wonderful. Alan Keyes, I don't know if everyone knows, has actually left the GOP, and he was just a breath of fresh air. He is obviously an insider, talked about the party. Well, anyway, between Jeske and Thomas and the other guy. They were so into talking testimonial about in scripture and about Christ. They left me on hold the entire show.
We didn't.
I said it was funny. It was great. It was a great show. You know, Alan Keyes is a perfect example of what we are talking about here. He talked about basically that both parties are the fat cats of the country club. And
right.
If we have to do it, we have to do it. But the time is now. Because he basically, he had talked about, you know, people should really download that episode. Just the things that's going on in government that we really don't even know. But it's such a cesspool that if we really knew absolutely everything, I mean, we would all be going insane.
That's absolutely true. And people like to let you know that our guest, Jason Matera, will be with us at 3 p.m. He had a previous engagement, a little bit of conflict of his schedule today, but he will be with us at 3 o'clock, which is in approximately 20 minutes. So just hang in there. We will have him with us. But we're talking here on Southern Sense on different subjects, and this is about voter fraud, which I find it very, very interesting and very frightening. And I would suggest you find out exactly what company is handling the voting machines in your state.
I think all of us listening, whether it's me or Thomas or the Bible man, all of us, every single one of us need to get involved in this. We need to be team leaders on this and find out what kind of machines are being used and just to prevent fraud. I mean, think about this a second. If person A is Cool Mike and I ask about, hey, I was recently listening to Blog Talk Radio and there was this talk regarding these machines. The people who speak out against you and say, no, it doesn't need to be changed, blah, 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 you know one thing. That's a person who's probably corrupt in the system, who doesn't want a backup. But do we write checks and not get those checks back? Do we pay credit cards online without getting a receipt or a confirmation number? I mean,
right.
Do you pay at the pump, gasoline-wise, and not get a receipt? Come on. This is the most sacred, and we must protect the votes. We must protect the votes because, you know, they own everything right now. If we don't even have control of our own individual vote, then we may as well just take the Constitution and burn it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and like I said before, that's where True the Vote comes in. You know, if you go to www.truethevote.com, you know, and I popped it in the chat room, I mean, that's the only place where we can ensure that this election is free and fair.
Now, supposedly this Skytel Partners is also related to Oracle, which is a support of all things Democrat. So it looks like they're already trying to find ways to rig this election because they know they're going to have a hard time going up against Romney. And when you have them blatantly altering the numbers in Maine, like that first clip I played, blatantly altering these numbers and no one is being prosecuted, what else are they going to do? That's a very good question.
And
yes.
That brings another very interesting point, too. Just recently here in the state of South Carolina, the elected lieutenant governor, who was Ken Ard, had been indicted on various charges. What was really interesting, though, is back when this, I guess it was, 2010, if my memory serves me right, there was another individual running for lieutenant governor. His name was Bill Connor. And I had Bill Connor on the program. And incidentally, I'm under my alias here. This is Bill Clay, Danny.
I know who.
Okay.
We know who you are, Bill. You can't hide from us.
Yeah, I can't hide from anybody, Mike. But what's really interesting is Bill was very, very upfront about what he believed, where he stood, his military record, so forth and so on. And yet Bill lost the election to Ken Ard. And what's happening today, and I see it so many times, not all the time, but so many times, our elections have become merely a popularity contest. It has nothing to do with an individual's qualifications. It has nothing to do with an individual's wisdom and their knowledge and their comprehension of what the Constitution says,
you know, what, how it was designed, why it was designed that way. And it's just a popularity contest, and it's a sorry way to run a system. And I've had people on that have lost elections. I know the voting machines are rigged. I've mentioned this before. In South Carolina, I saw that firsthand back there in, I guess it was 2008. And I've had other people that I've talked to that have seen the same thing. What we really need, and it's not a guarantee, but it's like when you, what you said, Mike, you know, you go to a gas station, you know, stick your card in a machine there, and you get a printed receipt. What we really need is a printed receipt of our votes that were entered into that electronic voting machine. And with all the, I mean, they can send a man to the moon, you know, and you mean to tell me they can't make a machine that'll hand out a printed receipt? But
well, they can't do it. They don't want to because it's corrupt.
I know that, Mike. I know that. And this is where it's up to the people to get involved. And I've said this before, and I'll say it on this program. You know, we hear the word Christianity used so much nowadays. But the bottom line is this. Christianity is not a spectator game, sport, whatever you want to call it. It's one of participation. And unfortunately,
amen,
we don't have any participation. The church has come out with so many stupid doctrines and theologies that they've totally lost sight of, you know, why the U.S. became a country, why it was transformed from a country into a nation via the U.S. Constitution. And the churches won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Oh,
exactly.
I'm sorry, I forgot about the 501c3 racket.
Yeah, well, not only that, they're risking the 501c3, but they also risk having federal funds cut off, because a lot of these churches accept federal funds for their schools, for their homeless ministry, and so on and so forth. You know, if you end up biting the hand that feeds you, you're going to get cut off. So they're afraid, not of just the 501c3, but of losing federal funds. So actually, in a way, a lot of these churches have become an extension of the government.
Oh, absolutely, Annie. And I'm always in trouble with the quote-unquote church people, because I'll tell it like it is. You know, over in the book of Acts, you'll see, render unto God what is God, and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And unfortunately, the churches nowadays have become nothing but a social club. Now, that's going to upset a lot of people, but, you know, hey, I call it the way I see it. It has become nothing but a social club. And the government now is even going after some pastors to help them turn the parishioners into servants. Now, that may sound a little radical and oversimplified, but that's exactly what is going on in this country today. And it's pitiful. It is absolutely pitiful.
Well, hence you have nothing happening to Reverend Wright, because he's Obama's buddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned Alan Keyes. I had Alan Keyes on my program a number of years ago. And I like Alan Keyes. But let's look at Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes, wow, there was a black man. I mean, he was black. You know, he was no half-breed. He was black. But I'll tell you what the problem with Alan Keyes was back then and even today. He talked about the Declaration of Independence. He talked about original intent. He talked about the Constitution. He talked about God and country. Oh, we can't have that. Now you have Obama, who is a quote-unquote half-breed, half-white, half-black, and everybody makes a big to-do over it. I mean, it just shows that, you know, a friend of mine was working on a manuscript entitled Insanity for Sale, and she's right. That's exactly what it is. We have insanity for sale today. He who has the money, they're the ones that get in. Hate to blow your bubble, Mike, about running for office, but you don't stand a Chinaman's chance.
Thanks for the advice.
Oh, man. You're listening here to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I did promise a couple of my friends I would be playing some of the PSAs, so let me give a shameless shout-out to our fellow BTR hosts here. Here we go.
David Graham hosts Stay Mad Radio, Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. David Graham is a patriot who speaks about communism, cultural Marxism, Alinsky, and Islam. Also find very interesting guests, including former CIA agents, authors, and friends.
Reza, thank you very, very much for contacting us and agreeing to join us here on Stay Mad Radio.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it.
And as promised, with me on the line is our guest, Charles Faddis. Open your mic right now. Charles, welcome back to Stay Mad Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back.
No, that's my pleasure. Our pleasure.
I'm gonna break right into bringing him right on. Usama, thank you for joining me here on Stay Mad Radio. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my joy to be with you, brother, and I hope and I pray that the Lord will use it tonight.
Her name is Janie Johnson. She wrote the book, Don't Take My Lemonade Stand. How are you today, Janie?
I'm doing great, David. How are you?
I'm fine. I think this is her now. Is this Addie?
Hello. I am here. I'm listening.
How are you? Very, very nice to speak with you, finally.
Yeah, it surely is.
So catch this and much more exciting content on Stay Mad Radio, Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern.
You can't handle the truth.
24/7 Internet Talk Radio. Socialism is not an option.
Vote with the candidate that most closely comes to your worldviews, whatever those may be.
Oh, you got a great show.
Thank you.
I'm impressed with your callers and Dave and everyone on that show. It's just a great show. You're very well informed. It's run like a tight ship. It's very good.
I'm sorry for those who support that lifestyle.
Right.
But true it's impossible. We've said this before. It's impossible to be a true conservative and gay. It's just impossible.
Heaven help you guys if the Republicans actually win in 2012, because I'll be gunning for those so-called folks. I'm sorry, did I speak clearly enough for this?
Friday evening, I had the opportunity to appear on Tesler's program. Tesler hosts three different programs, and I appeared on the Friday Night Roundtable program, which was sort of the less serious. He's got some, but I was on the Friday Night Show, which allowed me to riff on top.
Tesler, I want to thank you so much for having me on. You have a rocking program.
Thank you.
This has been very energetic, and getting the message out is the most important thing. Do not ignore this show. Tesler, you got a fantastic show, and I just want to say God bless America. We got a lot of work ahead of us.
Stop, because obviously, I'm very conservative. I'm not religious orientated. Believe me, people who know me know that if I went into a church, it would probably
burst into flames.
Probably.
Oh, geez, Ski and David, thank you. I love you. Kisses, kisses, kisses.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, man, I don't want to go there. Good night, and God bless.
Socialism is not an option. WWWDB. 24/7 Internet Talk Radio.
Please join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the SITREP. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a PhD in history, and he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh, so please catch The Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with internet talk radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that internet talk radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet talk radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media.
A real conservative knows Southern sense when he hears it. Listen to Annie, the radio chick in South Carolina on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Friday.
Annie is co-founder and webmaster of the Buford, South Carolina Tea Party, and she doesn't put up with those brainless northern liberals. Get your full dose of Southern Sense every Tuesday and Friday on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/southern-sense for some real old-fashioned Southern Sense with Annie. It's Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go party in the world of digital talk radio. Belly up to the bar for that drink concoction known as a Reactionaries. They're smooth. Catch that shot at the Reactionaries radio show starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Next is your martini man, Tesler, who will make sure you have an extra dry, three olive, pull the Marxist double shot special known as Socialism is Not an Option from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. Then you can finish your bar hopping night at 11:30 p.m. with the GGT Drink Special, the conservative primetime radio show, where he puts new meaning in the phrase, last call for alcohol. That's 7 p.m. Eastern for Reactionaries and his show of the same name. Then at 9 p.m. is Tesler's Socialism is Not an Option, and closing down the bar is GGT at 11:30 p.m. with the conservative primetime radio show. Party on, dudes.
Okay, and we're back. You're listening to Hear the Southern Sense, obviously, and our guest should be calling in very shortly. He said he'd be calling in at 3 o'clock, Jason Matera. And we have on the line with us Bill Clay, known as the Bible Mechanic, Rick Blow, and Thomas, the Invisible Conservative, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Welcome back, Mike.
Kisses, kisses. I think we need to hear from our callers on this one. Let them be the judge and jury here.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Mike wanted you to make a comment about my calling into Tesla's show going kisses, kisses, kisses.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know,
side with the woman.
No. It's not a matter of siding with the woman. Let me tell you, there's an old cliche, behind every good man is a good woman. So, you know. And women have played a vital role, contrary to popular belief and opinion, with America's founding and the direction it takes and so forth and so on. So I'm not down on women. I'm not in favor of this quote-unquote women's lib, which is prominently promoted, far from it, because women's lib, see, that breaks down the family unit. And, of course, there's a progression here. I call it a system. You know, there's God, family, and so forth. And women are very, very important. They play a very good role. Now, I'm always in trouble with my wife. You're a big flirt, so you know. I guess Andy don't have that problem if she puts down there kisses, kisses, kisses. Her papa ain't gonna hit her in the head with a 2x4, is he?
No, he won't. And now we do have our caller, our guest calling in on the line. Let me bring him on board. Good afternoon, Jason, and welcome to Southern Sense here on Block Talk Radio. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, this is exciting. We've been all over the map, you know, talking about various different things, and one of the things we're talking about is the evidence of voter fraud. Have you been following these stories?
From afar. I've been on a book tour, but I've seen James O'Keefe's work, and he and I are buddies, so I admire what he does, and I think, it's yeoman's work exposing the potentiality for fraud in the 2012 election.
Yeah, because there was a court case going on in Ohio, and there was a computer programmer working for a company out of Florida who actually designed a program that would alter a person's vote in the machine. So no matter what, they would get the results they desired. And he was testifying under oath in court about doing this. And that there are no safeguards, there's no way to check up on us. The only way you could know that this was happening is to actually go into the very source code, which means you have to be another programmer looking. And there's no way for people to know whether or not their vote is being counted correctly.
Well, that is it's concerning, of course, and the Obama administration does not really care about voter fraud investigation. In fact, they want to make it as easy as possible for someone to vote illegally. That's why they're having a war against something as sensible as ID. I mean, my goodness, not for nothing. I just arrived in Pennsylvania to give a speech tonight, and to board my airplane, what did I have to do? I had to show an ID. Showing ID is not racist. It is not against American values, and yet the Obama administration, with Eric Holder at the helm, is trying to turn this into some race issue to show an ID before you do something as American as vote.
This is true. Now, our guest here is Jason Joseph Matera. He is only 28 years old, and he already has two best-selling books that I suggest everyone should go out to read, Hollywood Hypocrites, as well as Obama's Zombies. My teeth got put in backwards this morning. How the Liberal Machine Brainwashed My Generation. How did the Liberal Machine brainwash you?
Well, certainly not me, but a lot of my peers. Have been lobotomized. It really came to the forefront in 2008 with the COOL campaign. A lot of young people, the 18 to 29 demographic, voted in droves for Barack Obama. And many, there are many people, especially conservatives, who write off the youth vote and say, wow, these are just young people. They don't really make a difference when it comes to swinging elections, and then the conservatives were dead wrong. Barack Obama was able to marshal the youth vote to help him win in key states like Ohio, Indiana, Florida, North Carolina, and the big part of playing that was celebrities, celebrity endorsements, celebrity rock concerts, and exclusive interviews. And Barack Obama was really able to mobilize pop culture on his side, and I really write about both in Obama Zombies and the latest book, Hollywood Hypocrites, just what exactly the Republicans are up against, the machine that is looking to sell us and repackage a failed presidency to us.
Now, you did write a fantastic book talking about the Hollywood Hypocrites. What are some of the examples?
Some of the big players, we all enjoy their music or seeing their movies on the big screen. Let's take Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen is out there almost every opportunity publicly to denounce tax cuts for the wealthy. He's a big Obama supporter. He helped he helped give free concerts to Obama supporters in 2008. And this is a man who just says the social contract with America to the poor, the middle class, has evaporated because of the tax policy under Bush. Well, it turns out while he's railing against tax cuts for the fat cats, he classifies himself on his property taxes not as a rocker, but as a farmer. A farmer, because there's some arcane law in New Jersey that says if you produce $500 worth of goods, you're considered a farmer, and you can write off therefore 98% of your property taxes. So this man, while railing against tax cuts for the rich, he classifies himself as a farmer, and thereby denying the very poverty programs that he says New Jersey desperately needs. So the guy's a grade-A hypocrite.
Well, what's your opinion then of Warren Buffett?
Well, he's another one. He's a man who, I mean, he's certainly not a celebrity, but the Obama administration likes to bring him out and tout him as one of these uber-wealthy guys who says we need higher tax cuts, tax rates. And yet Warren Buffett is in a fight with the IRS. He's in one of his companies is in a fight with the IRS. The IRS says the company owes them millions of dollars, and Warren Buffett is fighting that. Listen, if you can have a political opinion. If you're a celebrity, if you're one of the stars, or you're a big Obama donor like Warren Buffett, I don't care that you support Barack Obama. I do care, however, if you're telling us to adhere to a policy prescription that you are egregiously violating. If you tell us that we need higher taxes and then you go and hide and hoard your money, please don't not use the heavy hand of government to restrict the very liberties that foisted you into fame and stardom. So it's the hypocrisy that certainly got me writing about it, but really irked Americans, I think, both left and right.
Yeah, you've been quite prolific in writing and doing videos. You're up on Andrew Breitbart. You're with Human Events. You also have your own radio show on WABC up in New York, which is Radio 77 on the AM dial, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, that's correct, 770.
Yeah, I remember listening. We have someone in the chat room remembering WABC when Cousin Brucey was on and Big Dan Ingram. Matter of fact, I remember those too. I'd be listening to them on the way home from school or whatever. That was also the one that Don Imus started on when he was in New York, correct?
Yeah, and Imus is back on 770.
Oh, wow. I used to listen to him when I was getting ready for school back in the 70s.
And you know what's funny? I used to listen to him on my way to school in the 90s. Don Imus has been around for – he's the guy's a legend. He's a class actor. I love being on his program. And even though I disagree with him on some issues, you know you're going to get with Imus. And he lets you know where he stands. He's not one of these guys that tries to suck up to any individual. I mean, he plays it straight. If he believes in something, he'll then go ahead and argue in favor of that point. I mean, he's one of these guys that there's no BS surrounding him. What you see is what you get.
Well, you know, this is something I find. If you have a celebrity that happens to be a conservative, you normally have that type of a personality. Whereas on the flip side, the hypocrites are talking about, the Keith Obermans, the Bill Maher's, they're not held up to the same standard. You know, they deal with celebrities that are conservatives much harsher than if they weren't, if they were progressives. You know, how much has Bill Maher gotten away with that would have gotten anyone else fired?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's mountains of evidence that show a double standard. Conservatives always are going to have to be vigilant of that. But we know there's a double standard. What do you do about it? You fight back. So the case of Bill Maher, he has said deplorable things about conservative women over the years. Do I think HBO should yank him off air? No, I don't think so, because he caters to some clientele, even though they're a kooky base, and the HBO subscribers are paying for it. You know, if they don't want to pay for it, they can tune it off. But here's what we can do. Is we can weaponize the information that's in front of us. So that is, and we've taken all of Bill Maher's crazy statements, and we've said, hey, you think conservative talk radio, you think Rush when he engages in satire, you think that's mean-spirited, hateful, and against civil dialogue? Well, here's everything Bill Maher says. And Bill Maher actually is giving money to the Obama reelection campaign. He's hosting fundraisers for Barack Obama. He has administration officials who go on his show. So please don't lecture us about civility and mean-spirited dialogue when you have someone like Bill Maher. And it's gotten to such a point where even Bill Maher is now standing up for Rush Limbaugh and saying, hey, listen, I'm tired of everyone apologizing. I'm tired of all this fake outrage and manufactured outrage. Let's just have free speech. So I think conservatives are able to utilize social media, talk radio, the blogosphere to our advantage in pointing out the double standards and then actively fighting against it. We have to do it.
Yeah, well, this is where we have to then call the sponsors and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm not going to buy your product if you continue to sponsor.
Well, we can do that too. So and people can vote with their wallets. The problem is, especially with Hollywood, a lot of people I write about, I enjoy their movies. I enjoy their music. It's not that I begrudge them about having a political opinion. I don't care that Bruce Springsteen, for instance, classifies himself as a farmer to get mega tax cuts. I don't care that Harrison Ford owns 7 airplanes while he lectures us about global warming. But what we can do is weaponize the information and say, hey, look, not even Obama's biggest backers, you know, not even his staunchest allies in Hollywood live by the same crap that he seeks to inflict on the rest of us. So it's not just about human failings of hypocrisy. It's about, hey, look, even the liberals don't want to follow liberal policies because they know it's going to harm their personal wallets and their personal freedom.
Well, that's true. That is true. And the double standard is, I always find, very, very amazing. And you had fun punking some people on that. Lately, you went after Senator Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. He's Vermont senator. Here's a guy who actually calls himself a socialist. We know that most Democrats in Congress are socialists by the way they vote and speak, but this guy actually says, I'm a socialist. So Bernie Sanders was selling one of his books at Barnes & Noble, and I just asked him how an avowed socialist goes ahead and sells a book for profit. And he was caught off guard, and yeah, it's an ambush interview and punking him for sure. But, the left has been doing this for years. Michael Moore made his name off of ambush interviews and punking individuals. You have Mike Wallace at CBS was doing this for 60 Minutes. I think conservatives need to, rather than disengage from the fight and the left's tactics, is use some of the tactics that actually worked. We can borrow pages from their playbook and turn it against them.
Yeah, Bible Mechanics writing in the chat room that the elitists own the commercial media nowadays. It wasn't that way back in the 50s and 60s. I think the FCC actually had put censorship much stronger back in the 50s and 60s. With the new freedom of speech court cases, it's allowing all this to turn around and let the progressives control more of the media. Are you agreeing with that?
Well, progressives have controlled the media for a while now, and the point is we realize the double standard, but we have to fight that narrative. When I speak to young people and they ask me, hey, I want to get into journalism, what do you recommend? I tell them, don't put college Republicans on your resume. Go ahead and infiltrate these places and you should go ahead and try to work for a Politico or the New York Times and just write or choose stories that would appeal to conservatives or would get an alternative voice out there. It's not that the mainstream media is just a liberal and has a liberal slant. We know that's true. It's the stories they choose to cover and therefore the stories they choose to overlook. So there can be, for instance, maybe 20 people in D.C., protesting capitalism with their stupid Occupy Wall Street movement, and that will get, reams of coverage. But yet you can have 100,000 young people who come out on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade to give and speak a pro-life message and nary a peep from the media.
That's true. Now, you did a fantastic punk with the Occupy, and I was watching it. I was hysterical, especially with those yellow sunglasses you had on. And not one person realized that they were being punked by you.
Well, that's the goal, is for them not to realize it until afterward. But what was funny is, and I've been to so many leftist rallies over the years, go undercover. I remember one parent sent me, it was an email, after she saw one of the videos and said, oh my gosh, I saw my son. You were punking my son. I saw him at one of the rallies. I'm going to cut off his credit card now. I can't believe he was at this piece of junk rally. And so it got a good laugh out of me. But I'm just trying to, I'm trying to have fun. And I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So we do things unorthodox. And I just am trying to advance the ideas of freedom and liberty in the way I best can.
Now, believe it or not, I used to work in Brooklyn. I worked out of the 9-0 precinct in Brooklyn North. We do things a little strangely up in New York. But now I'm Southern. Your website is jasonmatera.com. And if people wanted to see your videos, are they up on there or is another place they can go?
No, jasonmatera.com has all the videos and they can you can get lost for hours watching these videos. They're a lot of fun. Your jaw will drop at the stupidity and hypocrisy of liberals, both politicians, celebrities, and just, your run-of-the-mill granola-crunching hippie who attends these rallies.
Now, I also like it when you travel down to D.C. and you actually start tailing on people. You had gotten Al Franken at one point, and I loved what you did with Barney Frank.
Yeah, Barney Frank. I'm going to miss, I know the country is not going to miss him in terms of the policies the guy advocates, but I'll miss Barney Frank personally because the guy is so much material for talk radio, for questions, to ask him or just writing blog posts. The guy, he's a gold mine of comedic value. Yeah, but Barney Frank, I asked him if with his down economy, if he can give me advice on how to start my own brothel. Because Barney Frank, unbeknownst to many people, certainly those who are my age, don't know that in the early 90s he had a prostitution ring running out of his basement apartment. And he said, well, I didn't know because he had a townhouse and it was out of his basement. He said he didn't know it was happening. I mean, how did he have a prostitution ring, dudes just flocking in and out of your apartment, and you have no idea it's going on? Well, he got a minor censure from his colleagues in the House of Representatives. It was a little slap on the wrist, and it's really emblematic of the talk about double standard when it comes to politicians and the people they're trying to represent. I'm sorry, but there should be a code of morality followed if you're a congressman. I mean, if you're engaging or turning a blind eye to illegal activity and you want to go and represent people, I mean, it's represent us and construct tax policy and regulations to lord over our lives. I mean, it's downright disgusting. And I don't care, quite frankly, if you're a Republican or Democrat, a politician, if you're caught in some huge ethics scandal or something illegal, I mean, your ass should be thrown out of office by constituents, or at least have the integrity to leave. But instead, someone like Barney Frank is actually elevated. He's given more prominence, and his hypocrisies or failings does not hurt him as a politician. It's helped him.
Well, that's the same. You know, look what they've done with Charlie Rangel. Absolutely nothing. He barely even got a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, he's another guy. He was writing tax policy, the head tax writing, you can say, chief officer amongst congressmen, and he was a guy not paying his own taxes, abusing rent-control apartments in New York City for financial gain, using congressional stationery to raise money for the Charles Rangel, I think it's department it's Charles Rangel department a school within the CUNY system in New York, and that was illegal as well. And all these things, and he got a maybe a little heavier censure than did Barney Frank, but it's still a censure nonetheless. It's not like he's removed from office, and we can't just blame his peers in the House of Representatives, but also constituencies. Someone like Barney Frank and certainly Charlie Rangel was voted in back by overwhelming majorities. So I guess their constituents are oblivious to the fact these guys are corrupt. I don't know. But it's, you know, we have us to blame as well for these dirtbag politicians we turn out.
Oh, that's true. And Rangel's on the top of that. You know, we've got these two scandals that are breaking, the one with the Secret Service agents over a $47 hooker. Now, I was amazed. $47? Why 47, not 50? Not $40, but 47.
I've heard now conflicting reports. That's what I first thought. It was like $47, first of all. That's a really, really cheap hooker for $47. And then I heard it was the $47 as the overnight stay for that hooker at the hotel, but her real rate was somewhere like $120-something dollars. So it was a little more. So we don't have all the information. Regardless, this is something that, if explored and investigated by the media, I'm sure they'll find that there's a lot more people involved. I mean, you have diplomats and politicians, not just Secret Service, that are away from their families. The fact that they were so, you know, the Secret Service agent was so brazen about, like, no, I'm not. He didn't even want to pay the woman $47, the hotel staff $47. I mean, so the fact that he was so arrogant about it, the entire team is so arrogant about it, I'm sure this has been going on a while, and I'm sure it goes higher up the food chain than just 11 agents and some military personnel. This is, you know, it's a big problem for the Obama administration, and someone needs to be held accountable. I mean, someone besides the agents has to be fired. There are supervisors who are supposed to make sure that this doesn't happen. If they're just given a pass, then, that's a problem. But I wouldn't be surprised if they are given a pass, because this administration does not hold anyone accountable.
No, they fail to fire people. That's one thing this administration cannot do. They cannot fire people. And I had a stat before about how many new people were hired, something like over 120,000 new federal workers since Obama took office. I mean, it seems that it's I'm trying to think of the right word, but it's prevalent throughout his entire administration. Between what goes on with Eric Holder and Fast and Furious, the Secret Service agents, and also now with the GSA, it's not just isolated incidents. It's just entire administration.
Entire administrations and cabinet-level officials. So Fast and Furious with Eric Holder at the helm. Eric Holder on a litany of issues from enforcing or suing states like Arizona for trying to enforce the border, suing states like South Carolina for issuing just sensible voter ID law, while then they turned a blind eye towards illegal immigration and while they turned a blind eye towards real voter intimidation with the new Black Panther Party. I mean, this is a disastrous administration on so many different levels, and the only thing that's going to stop it is no Obama in 2012. If he's voted out of office come November, then that's why it's very important now that for conservatives to coalesce around Mitt Romney. I know there are a lot of people like myself who are frustrated that we get someone like Mitt Romney and he's not as conservative or hardcore as we'd like him to be, but is he going to be better than Barack Obama? Heck yeah, there's no doubt about that. So the number one goal should be defeating Obama. Number two should be getting enough senators in the House to retake the Senate. Senators in the Congress to retake the Senate.
That's something that I've been advocating, and I'm one of the founders here in South Carolina of the Buford Tea Party, and this is what we keep on telling everyone. We've got to clean out the House from the bottom all the way on up. You know, change dog catcher even.
Yeah, everything. It has to be clean house all the way through. And then it has to be a systematic unravel of these bureaucracies. I mean, you have career bureaucrats at the EPA, at Health and Human Services, at the Commerce. Where you go, every single department, there are career bureaucrats who not only are getting paid by us, right? They're getting paid by taxpayer money. They're whole reason for existence is to find new ways to extract more of our money, take more of our economic purchasing power away, restrict our liberty even further by the rules and regulations that they just write into law without congressional approval. So it's not just the presidency, it's unraveling these departments and getting back to a constitutional republic where you have the real social contract between America and the government, and the government is there to protect our life, liberty, and property. And right now, it doesn't do. In fact, it violates that very principle. You have a government now that restricts life, liberty, and property.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things we were talking about between the voter fraud that was going up in Maine in the primary, where whole towns and counties were not counted. Or the votes that were counted were erroneous. The numbers were all altered from what the actual votes were. So how do you take it back if they're going to rig the vote?
Well, I mean that's certainly a big problem, and bringing exposure to these issues, forcing the coverage from mainstream media outlets. Sometimes they come kicking and screaming, but they do eventually come around to the news stories. So while things are bubbling up in the blogosphere or being reported on with alternative media outlets, finally mainstream media coverage will come. So I think we have to force their coverage of these voter fraud issues and make sure that they highlight them. But we have to keep exposing it and talking about it. And, everyone has their own circle of influence, whether it's the number of Facebook friends they have or people they engage with on Twitter or maybe community forums that they're a part of or book clubs. I mean, every chance and opportunity we get when politics is brought up, people are so tired of Barack Obama, concerned about the direction of the country. We can't be afraid to give our opinions with facts and humor and really point people in the right direction.
Yeah. Do you see the social media then eventually replacing mainstream media?
I don't. I doubt. What we're seeing is the the customization of media, where as just 5-10 years ago, people would go to the, say, New York Times and get all their news from the New York Times and read it cover to cover. Then you have most individuals who, with Twitter, with blogs and feeds, are able to customize their media and get their information from a whole variety of sources. So I think the information sources and outlets are going to increase, which means that the level of accountability is going to increase. So if something happens to be factually incorrect on a mainstream media story, it's generally called right away in the blogosphere, and corrections are issued. So I don't think there will be a replace for the mainstream media. It's going to serve more increasingly as a watchdog on the mainstream media.
Now, you said you're on a book tour. Is there anywhere that you're going to be so people would know that, you know, your next stop for book signing?
Yeah, on my website, you can stay in contact with me, jasonmatera.com, and on Twitter. But, yeah, I'll always have the, you know, the public places I'll be at, and always communicate with as many individuals as I can. And then there are people who want to invite me to come speak at one of their rallies or on a college campus. I love going to college campuses, the belly of the beast. I speak frequently on them. So I'm, you know, happy to connect with people any way I can.
Oh, fantastic. Jason,
hey,
this is...
I have a question for Jason. Jason, cool mic here. Thanks for joining us. Your book, Hollywood Hypocrites, I already have the Pontiac, Michigan Library is ordering a copy, or she's getting a copy at Barnes & Noble, she says, in a couple hours, so I can read it. The front cover, for all the listeners, you've got to look at this front cover of the book, Hollywood Hypocrites. Oh, my God. If you're at a computer right now, which most people should, Google this. Who came up with the front cover for this? I just love this cover. He's got a
yeah.
You can describe it, Jason. How would you describe it to these people? Oh God, these characters are so funny.
Well, yeah, they're caricatures of famous A-list celebrities, and it's in the backdrop of the iconic Obama logo and color scheme. So Simon & Schuster, who is the publisher, did a fantastic job with the creating the book cover. The book is a really, really fun but eye-opening read. So while we know Hollywood is liberal, people's jaws are going to drop on how much the hypocrisy goes, how deep and widespread it is, and more importantly, how aggressive Hollywood is in promoting Barack Obama. I mean, we cannot write off celebrities as just, oh, these are dumb actors and musicians, and their endorsements don't matter. The power nexus between Obama and Hollywood goes very deep, and they give him tons of money. They headline his rallies. They sell him on the big screen, and we need to know what we're up against.
Well, Jason, this has been great. We're down to our final 2 minutes of the show. I want to thank you for coming on, and would like to invite you back again when we can have some more time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and, yeah, I'd love to come back.
Okay, thank you, Jason. We will be back here on Friday, and our guest will be Bettina Viviano. She has some breaking information about Obama and other good stuff. So join us back here on Friday, same bat time, same bat station, 2 o'clock on Friday, Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank everyone in the chat room, and I want to thank those that have called in, and our guest, Jason Matera, and you can find his website at jasonmatera.com. Have a good night, and God bless.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense, the proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
This thing keeps cutting you off.